Hello, hello.
Hi.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good. Enjoying the conference so far?
Yeah.
Learning a lot?
Yeah.
Good. So, I was asked to share my testimony, or rather, I wasn't asked to share my testimony. When I was asked to share, I thought I was going to share a message to all of you. So, I kind of panicked and quickly recounted my life story. And I realized I don't have much to tell you guys. Compared to many of the other brothers and sisters today, I felt that my life was really, really boring and dull. It's not just spiritually, but in my regular life, in my secular life, I did not feel that I was very accomplished. I came here from China when I was at a young age. I was 5 when my family decided to immigrate here. So it was all a really new experience for me. At that age, my parents decided to take me to church, and that was really one of the first experiences I had of America. But at that young age, I didn't understand anything. I mean, think about it. You're like this tall, and you just came from another place, another country. So, wow, all this was so different. But fast forward a little bit, my family stopped going to church because I had a little sister that was born. So that took me out of church for a while. In middle school, my family came back to church because my sister was old enough to walk and eat and do things that a toddler would be able to do. So I came back to church. And well, if you don't know, I go to House of God in SF. House of God SF was like a second family for me growing up. And I'm really thankful for it. I have to admit though, there was a long, long time where I didn't really know God. I didn't even understand God or have the heart to find that out. And this time was in middle school. Even though my family did go to church, we didn't really understand anything. I think that it is a blessing that God didn't let me or make me born into this church, because in a way my whole journey started when I actually went to church by myself. Even though my family did go to church, like my grandparents were really against Christianity. My dad went to church with me. My mom always had work. And because of that, it felt like I didn't have that strong of a connection to the church. In middle school, I heard a lot of messages, much like many of you today who are seated there. Like, we hear things from our pastors, our brothers who are willing to serve. We hear things from our deacons, from our parents about the Bible. But I felt like I didn't really have that growing up. I came to church not because I was a strong person, but rather because I was weak. And that was the mentality I had for a while. And like the transitions from middle school to high school actually brought me way downhill. I thought that in middle school I had a good place with God, but I didn't. And it went all bad. In high school, I'd hang out with a bad crowd, and they did really horrible things. Some of them were drinking, smoking, they all went partying, and just was a horrible influence. I thank God that He didn't allow me to participate in those things, because it's just something I would have regretted so much. But I do have one regret, and that was that I surrounded myself with these people. I want to share a verse that really struck me as a young Christian. And this is found in Matthew 9. I'll read it to you guys. So Matthew 9, verses 10 to 12. Now it happened, as Jesus sat in the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Often people tell me that Christians are usually so good at what they do that they have to act a certain way and to be just a certain type of person. But I heard this metaphor that the church and the Christian faith is often comparable to a hospital. Now, people don't usually go to the hospital if they are healthy. Rather, it is the sick who needs to go to the hospital. Likewise, it's the sinners who go to church and are healed. And while the healthy people do not have to go to be healed, there are those who are diligent enough to seek healing while in health. Unfortunately, I was one of those people who were sick and needed healing. And even though this metaphor has been used a couple times in messages, it still rings true. I know that God sent Jesus not only to die for us, but to suffer for us on the cross. And to suffer a man's life, like, we have to realize how powerful that is, how humiliating, how humbling it is for God to come down as man, to live like a man, to die like a man, just to save us who are so undeserving. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I just thank God for all the work he has done for me over the years. It's just a life where I've been transformed. When I was a freshman in high school, I said before that I hanged out with the bad crowd. Like, if I didn't have Christ, I might have been with them all the past years. And that would have been a horrible way for me to live. But even then, like in high school, after I accepted Christ, I felt like I lived a faith without any kind of faith. It was a kind of faith where I believed in God, but I have not experienced Him totally. I haven't experienced the complete God that saved us all. So even while I was participating in events like this, seated where you guys are, I felt like I didn't really have Christ in me. In fact, I remember just sitting in one of these chairs, dozing off while the speaker would speak. And that would not be a good testimony if I continued to stay that way. After conferences, I would be in a place where I thought I was good in the Lord, but I continued to be disobedient to my parents and had a horrible relationship with them. It was a constant arguing and fighting. They would punish me and ground me, but even then, I would continue to be disobedient. So what changed in my life? I was tired of living without purpose. I was tired of living a life full of meaningless social events that I went to. In a way, I was tired of life. So I searched for a purpose. I searched for any little bit of faith left in me. And it really took a lot of time. But slowly, God revealed Himself to me. And it wasn't instant, but God really worked in me. I began to really have a real time of fellowship with God. I prayed, and I really meant those words. I began to dedicate my time into understanding the messages that our pastors so graciously worked on. I began to read the Bible in a new way, not just reading it verse, chapter, book, but I wanted a connection with it and to apply it to my life in every single way. My morning devotion started the minute I woke up. My night prayers ended when I fell asleep. I shared more during discussion, but none of this would happen if I didn't find a heart for God. In reality, it was God that found me and took me in when I was at my worst. And it was truly His grace that saved me. Going off to college has been such a blessing to me. And like we hear from our brother Tim and Kristen, how they have changed when they went off to college. In the same way, I felt that it was through this that God really installed in me a heart for Him, to seek Him. I found many people who really had a humble heart for God. If you didn't know where I'm studying at, it is at San Jose State University. I currently attend Lighthouse Bible Church and go to their fellowship, Pathlight. And I have to say that everyone is so warm and welcoming, and it truly feels like a family. There isn't a day where I'm not in contact with at least a couple of people. The freshman group is quite interesting in that we all play a specific role for the purpose of God. Some of us are really good at playing instruments. Some of us are really good at singing. leading, sharing, and all of that was for God. So I'm just thankful that I can continue to be in this fellowship. So that's pretty much my testimony so far. As I said, I kind of wrote a message that I really wanted to share for you guys. And that is to actively seek God as a young Christian. I really wish that in some way I knew how to do that when I was younger, much like you guys right now. In Ecclesiastes 11, 9 through 10, it says, "You who are young, be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless." Matthew 7, 13 through 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." See, I'm pretty sure many of you have heard this verse before, but I'm not sure how many of you really understand how alarming this verse is. In the last few words alone can tell you, "And only a few find it." I really hope that we are people who seek to find this gate that brings us to life. So, if you didn't pay attention to my testimony and didn't really connect with me, I want to share 3 steps with you that you can apply into your own life. The first one is to acknowledge God's plan. It means to know your goal. The second is to welcome God's plan. It means to set a path for your goal. The last step is to excel in God's plan. Get to work. Acknowledging God's plan means to really know what it means, that to know what you believe in. It is the simple, most pure form of our faith, and that means to acknowledge that God is sovereign, that Christ is King, and that He came down as man to die for us. So I ask you, do you know God? Do you know what He has done for you? If you don't know God, then I encourage you to ask your brothers and sisters. If that really doesn't help you, then there's another way, and that's through this, your Bible. See, the thing is, you can't really know someone without knowing the things he has done. And the Bible really gives you everything that God has done for us. And I want to share you this. Philippians 2, 9, 11. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Do you know what this means? It means to acknowledge Him. Have you done that in your life? If so, you must welcome His plan. It's not just enough that we have a knowledge of God, but we have to enjoy it. Enjoy the knowledge that you have in God. Enjoy the fact that He came down as a man to die for us. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not things on earth. I'm pretty sure many of us set our eyes on the things of the earth. Even though we have this knowledge of God, we still seek to enjoy ourselves in life. Maybe it's to play video games, to enjoy times with other people, to do things that we really love in life. But that's the problem. We love those things in life, and our life is so short. We don't really have such a long time to live on this world. But in heaven, we really have a great salvation and a great God. And like, if we don't see that, we have such a great God. Like, what are we doing? God not only created the world, He sustains the world. We know that in Genesis, He created the world, right? And think about it. If things start, like, it would have to end, right? In many ways, we see that, like, generations have been born and generations have died. This world is dying, but God continues to sustain it. In the same manner that God created the world and He continues to sustain the world, we should then not only accept His salvation, but continue to dwell in it. Therefore, there should be no dull moment in our life, because God is in every aspect of our life. We are reassured by God, because He has already welcomed us. Will we accept that welcome? The third step is to excel in God's plan. This is the last step, and it is the hardest step, because it is the entirety of everything. It is to actively seek God. And many of us Christians today are really, really struggling at this part, because we're still human. I know a lot of people who grew up with me. They say that like Christianity has almost been indoctrinated into their life, that it was just a philosophy, just legalism, a religion, something that we repeat over and over and over. And to them, this salvation has almost became mundane, human. It was a salvation where we tried to save ourselves. But we forget that we cannot do it. We cannot save ourselves. In Colossians 3:23, I'll turn to it right now. And I hope that this verse really is instilled in your heart. It says in Colossians 3:23 that, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." And this is what we should really have in our hearts when we come to worship God. It is not that we are doing it for others, and it's not even that we're doing it for ourselves. When we come to church, what we're serving is so much greater than that. It is God that we are working for. Whether it's sharing the gospel or just reading it on your own time, the Bible should really, really affect you, because it is from God. So whenever you do anything that relates to God, you should be happy, you should be joyful, and you should be blessed, because God has chosen you to do these things, to serve Him. We have a goal to glorify God, and we have a way named Christ. Now, as Christians, we must walk this way. If any of this really is hard to you, then I encourage you to go to a brother or sister and to really swallow your pride, because you can't save yourself. Only God can. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Really, no longer it is my life that's living, but Christ's life in me. And this really should be our desire. This is the time that God gave you. Are you living it for Him? Are you seeking God? If in any way you failed in this path to seek God, I encourage you to go back to the start. Understand God first. Understand who it is that you are serving, and know that it is truly great and honorable and just so amazing that it is our God that we are serving. So I'll leave you with this verse in Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. Thank you.
Okay. You guys are young, and you guys are here, and you have the opportunity to listen to who, like, Stephen Kong, Dana Congdon, our two brothers and one sister, me, maybe less of me. But what I'm saying is, you know what? Stephen Kong, he got a Wikipedia page, okay? So you guys are talking with some big guys. And normally, if you guys talk with big guys, that costs moolah, which I know none of you have. I know none of you guys got moolah right now. Moolah's money. And what I'd say about that is, at the time when I was your age, see, I wasn't grateful at all. I was just like, they're coming for me. And I was chilling, listening to the messages. You know what I mean. You guys all been there. But what you guys don't see is that this here, right now, this is life advice. Like, if this was trainings, I work with a couple guys, SEO, search engine optimization, online business, if you want to call it. And they record and sell live trainings for over $1,000, and people rush in the gates to buy it. And let me tell you what, if guys like this, Stephen Kong, Dana Congdon, they got themselves a good copywriter, decided to market some content to the Christian community, they'd be billionaires. Maybe millionaires. I don't think a lot of Christians are rich, because, you know, they give to the poor. Right? Good Christians give to the poor. But they didn't. And that's who you guys have. That's who you guys have to speak to you. So I just want to let you guys know that right now you are in a very fortunate position. And you have been most likely babied and coddled up until now. Because I bet none of your parents really, most of your parents, I'll take that back. most of your parents, have never really come up to you guys and really try to be like, hey, son, like, you Christian here, you gotta do some stuff, you gotta do some work. Did they ever do that? No, I bet you they didn't. Did they? Solid, you got good parents.
Christian, though.
Oh, they didn't say it that way?
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what I mean. Okay. So, when I was your age, oh yeah, this is supposed to be like a testimony, but inside like the email message they gave me, it was pretty vague. Like you heard from Peter, Kristen, pretty vague. They were like testimony in the email subject line, and then later on they're like, oh, share some things you learned, and I'm like, that ain't quite my testimony. And I'm like, oh, from past experiences. And then some people came up to me even more. Believe me, it was a confusing matter. So I wasn't quite sure, so I kind of did both. I was like, I'm gonna do a testimony, but then I'm gonna call it a message. Or I'm gonna do a message, but it's gonna be my testimony. And what I did was, I put my realizations out when I was your guys' age. Well, not the people in the back, they're older than me. But you guys, actually maybe the people in the back, I'm sure they felt very much the same way, or very much the same inclined. But I know you guys right now, like, I know very well, full well as a matter of fact, that most of you guys can't say that you're Christian with pride. And as not, I actually know the reason why. I know that you can't tell all your friends that you're Christian, or at the very least, if you have told your friends that you're Christian, that it's like, A, I'm Christian. Okay, we're... Ooh, okay. 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 And the reason why most of you guys are going like, can't say that you're Christian, can't talk a lot about it, is because you know what? You may never have lived a Christian life. You guys read your Bibles every once in a while, whip out the prayers, come to worship on Sundays. But how many of you guys here, quickly raise your hands, or maybe actually don't, just do it in your head. How many of you guys here have truly experienced the Lord and can say that with solid conviction? How many of you guys can say that? Don't raise your hands, because if everyone raises their hands, then it'll be a bad example. But I don't think everyone will raise their hands anyway. Because certainly at your age, I was not thinking that I had a solid experience with Christ. As a matter of fact, my life with Christ consisted primarily of Sunday, Friday, and maybe a good 5 minutes of Bible reading every day, which wasn't bad at the time. But could have been a little bit more. Okay, so what I'm trying to come to here is that if you guys, Jeremy was talking about this at first, if you guys want to be Christian right now in 2016, new year, if you guys want to be Christian, your Christianity is going to have to be bold, it's going to have to be radical, and it's going to have to be ruthless. Because right now, the world does not accept weak Christians. As a matter of fact, God accepts everyone. But God would prefer that you not be a weak Christian. And at the very least, I and your parents and everyone else would prefer that you, as a person, make your choice. That's the great lie of the devil. That you have time to make your choice. You don't have time to make your choice right now. You are young. And actually, we come back like a year from now, you'll probably still be alive. Maybe the Lord hasn't come. You know, stuff like that. But your choice is now. You hear these guys over here saying, hey, I went to college. That changed me. That made a difference. Excellent. Great for them. But you guys have your choice right now. And frankly, if you don't make it, the devil's winning. He's like chilling with you guys not making a choice. Because you not making a choice is even better than you making a choice and saying no. If you made a choice and said no, at least someone could talk to you about it. At least someone could say, hey, why this, why that? And at least you would know why. But you don't know why. You drifting right now, you wondering, that's the worst. That's like floating in the ocean, barely staying alive. Is the worst. You guys ever float in the ocean? No. I know you guys haven't. Unless you have. Okay. So I actually did prepare beforehand. I know you guys are looking at all these notes I got on my arm, but I did have I do have stuff here. So what I was really convicted of coming here was, how can I convince you that Christianity is something that is worth it, like worth, truly worth it? What Peter was saying, and actually that's very funny that it should both be on our minds. Actually, I imagine, let's see. No, none of you guys have been to any of the morning Devo, like, prayer groups. Okay. Never mind. No. The adult ones. I know you guys wake up early. You guys are good. But I know you probably haven't been in adult ones because you're not adults. I'm assuming. Okay. So you guys don't know how much prayer is behind you guys right now. They're always thinking, like, I've been in there for 2 years now, and believe me, they're always like, hey, the youth, the juniors, the children, we gotta pray for them, we gotta pray for them. And believe me, you guys are getting prayed for. You, your individual names have probably been mentioned. Not to say that when you're old, you ain't important anymore, it's just that you're important because you're doing work instead of you're important because you're important. Okay. I was gonna go through something called, like, the... Do you guys ever hear of a president named, like, Kennedy or whatever? Yeah, you guys hear of him? Good, glad you've been going to class. He got shot. Old news, guys, that's old news. And the Kennedy question, you guys ever hear the Kennedy questions? I think they're called the Kennedy questions. Not exactly. Or at least I think. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, the Kennedy questions are this. It's to figure out, like, how strong your faith is. And it consists of two questions. Might consist of more, but I don't know them. And I think Joel's nodding his head. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Kennedy questions.
No. Okay, never mind. What the Kennedy questions are is, A, how sure are you on a scale from 0% to 100% that you're gonna be saved? Like, you die right now, taken in the prime of your youth, oh, your parents so sad. Are you going to heaven or not? Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven or not? And I'll let you guys think about that in your heads. But if you believe the Bible, your answer would have been, and if you're a Christian, really, not to say that if you're not a Christian, you wouldn't, but you would have answered 100%. And the second question I forgot, so we're not going to go over that. There's a truth. Oh, and by the way, like, when I'm speaking right now, this might be a message, but these are things that I came across when I was your age. These are the things that were on my mind, that I was like, okay, I'm a Christian. And actually, funny story. When I was like, I'm a Christian, I always had to, like, have an explanation for things. So around high school, maybe, there was, like, this one time I remember being like, you know what? I call myself a Christian. If I call myself a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a good Christian, too. So it was a little bit of a pride-related matter. But the Lord can use many things, not saying that your pride is very useful. Don't be prideful. Like, I didn't say to be prideful. You did not hear it from me. I'm just saying that God can use many things. Don't be prideful. Let's see. Okay. The truth of the matter is, so I've been living my Christian life for a little while now. I imagine some of you guys have also been living your Christian life for a while too. And the Christian life is not easy. Sorry, sad, dirty truth. Boo hoo hoo, cry about it all you want. It's the truth. If you want to be a Christian, it ain't gonna be easy. Especially right now. You think your friends think, oh, yo, I'm a Christian? They think you're gonna be cool? You're not gonna be cool because you're a Christian. Guarantee that you won't be cool because you're a Christian. As a matter of fact, you may never be cool, even if you are a Christian. But I'll think you're cool. At least I'll tell you I think you're cool. So the Christian life is not easy. So really, the truth of the matter is, people who are Christians and call themselves Christians and really love it, probably actually do love it. Because if they didn't love it, they'd be a masochist. And do masochists really exist? Not in my experience. I don't think so. Maybe they do, but I don't think they do. You guys know who what masochists are? Oh, they're people who like pain. So like, they're like, oh, hurt me. It feels good. Like, does that really happen? No. If it hurts, it doesn't feel good. So you guys are here. This is the last day of the conference. And last full day of the conference. And I remember at this time, when I was here, I'd be like, oh man, got my spiritual high. Oh, I'm gonna lose it soon. Oh crap, okay. Because during the conferences, I did have a spiritual high. There would be at least for one moment a time where I would be, you know what? I'm gonna follow Jesus for a little while. But then the next year would come and I'd be like, oh, I didn't follow Jesus at all. Oh, okay. Okay. What you have to think about is that you're about to go back into your world. I don't know about your world. I might know you here. I might not know you here. You guys might be lying to me. But you're about to go back in your world of school, of work, you guys don't work, of friends, of whatever, sports, blah, 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 blah. And you are not going to have your rest here. You're not going to have a spiritual high. Sorry to tell you. Actually, you might. I did have a spiritual high once while I was at school and not in the conference. But anyway, this is time for you guys to train. And when you go out, that will be your testing ground. And I don't know if you guys ever play, like sports? You play sports here. Raise your hand for this one, yeah? Play sports? Sports. JB, you're a liar. I know you play sports. Okay, Jonathan, I know you play on like varsity or something. You liar too. I know you guys play sports. And the reason why you train for sports is not because you're like, ooh, you know what? I love my training. Actually, you should love your training. That's another story. It's not because you love your training. It's because you're out there to play the game. And guys, the game is Christianity here. And the game is in the world. The game is in your school, in your sports, in your friends, in your life. Not here. Well, actually, the game is kind of here. You should still be a good testimony to me. But the game is out there, and that's where you're going to perform. And that's make it or break it, guys. Here, you can make mistakes. Over there, you can make mistakes too, but they have a much bigger consequence. Because in the end, if you guys are Christian, there's heaven and there's hell. And those are fatal consequences. Or eternal consequences, if you want to think about it on the bright side. Okay. So let's see. Okay. I am here on my second slide. I'm probably going to have to skip something. Okay. So, if you want to be a Christian, you need to know how to grow. So, there's this friend of mine, dude. He says he's autistic. I say he's a genius. And so what he does is defines every single term before he talks about it. And I find it really helpful to break things down. Some of you guys might find it boring. Deal with it. So what this guy named Teddy Roosevelt, another president, might have heard of him. He's dead. He says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right now, if you guys don't plan to be good Christians, you're not going to be a good Christian. I'm very frank about that. Because if you don't have a plan right now to set your spiritual growth into motion, you're done for. Like, that's like someone who walks into the swim team and doesn't know how to swim. All right? You're done for. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to kill yourself. You won't kill yourself because, anyway. So to grow is of essence. And my definition here, my working definition is Growing means to progress to maturity. Yeah? You guys are growing, hopefully. Some of you guys, like Jessica, might have stopped growing. Let's see. Okay, and there's something that I want to clear up. Because when I was your guys' age, this is what I thought. People would always be like, if you're a real Christian, you're going to grow. But let's think about it. What does Christian mean? Christian means that you believe in the word of God, that you're a sinner, and that he's come down to save your sins. Right?
Right.
Right. That's right. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you're going to grow. And as a matter of fact, there are many, many Christians who do not grow. I hope you're not them. I hope you're not them. A real Christian should want to grow, in theory, because they see what God's done for them, but they don't have to grow. They really don't have to grow. And you know what? Another thing, even if you want to grow, that might not be enough, guys. You see, there's one of my friends. Kind of small guy. I'm not saying I'm a big guy, but he's kind of a small guy. And he tells me, hey, yo, Kai, I'm hitting the gym this whole quarter. I'm going to get ripped. And I looked at him and I was like, come back in 10 weeks and tell me the same thing. Comes back in 10 weeks and the only thing that he's gained is 5 pounds of fat. And I let him know that. Well, he gained a little bit of muscle too, I'm not going to lie. But he was not like amazingly big. And the thing is, the reason why is because he didn't necessarily go to the gym. As a matter of fact, I saw him during finals. He's a smart guy. He was studying with me. Or actually, I was studying with him. And he was not going to the gym. And if you're not going to go to the gym, you're not going to get ripped. So you need to put in some action, some solid action behind your determination. Like what was Peter saying? The second step. Or the third step. Or the second step. So why should I grow? And how? One is because it's right. Because as a Christian, the Bible says God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow. And two, because it's in your best interest. Guaranteed, what I'm saying is very controversial. Actually, it's not that controversial. That your position with God, when you're in full submission to him, you will feel great. You will feel at your best. I don't know if you guys ever like served before and you guys did. You're like, oh man, I gotta give something up to God, gotta give up my time, whatever, whatever, whatever. Oh man. After it's done, you're like, ooh, solid. Felt good, Lord. Felt good. So what I'm gonna say is that you will be happiest. That's how far I'm gonna go. That you'll be happiest. I don't even know how happy you guys can be. Anyway, I don't even know how happy most of you guys can be. But I guarantee you, you will be at your happiest when you are in full submission to God. Full submission, and not only full submission, fully seeking the Lord. And fully knowing whom it is you serve and why. I'm sure if I ask you guys a lot of questions, you guys could spew your Bible Sunday answers at me. I don't really want to hear it. I heard a lot of it. I might have said some of myself when I was your age. Okay, three. Why should you grow? I kind of included a snarky comment here, and I said, because I want you to. Actually, you should grow for the first two reasons, but hey, I also want you to grow. It'd be good if you guys grew. I'd be happy. That would make me happy. So in case you ever feel like making me happy, you can do that, or you can buy me salted caramel ice cream. I also like salted caramel ice cream. Okay, sometimes you will feel like there is no growth. You're doing, at least that's how I felt. I would be reading the Bible, I'd be like, hey, why am I not growing? What's wrong with me? Lord, alright, I'm gonna dish the Bible. And you're like, and the Lord just is like kind of crying in the background, but you ain't listening, and so you kind of leave, and there's another 6 months of growth wasted. Okay, I was going to introduce something called the M wave to you, but I don't have time. I see Joel looking at his watch. He's pressuring me. So that means that I got to go fast. Growth is natural. Why don't some... I already went over that. Okay, so here I'm not sure if I have time, so I won't introduce all the topics. Without further ado, here's my first topic. Many. I thought I would only have a 20-minute sharing, and then I kind of, so I was like, ooh, you know, I'll prepare some extra, and then I was like, ooh, you know what, I'll prepare some extra.
About 3 or 4 minutes and wrap it up.
Yeah, 3 or 4 minutes. Well, we're just going to get to my first topic, guys, which is Bible reading and prayer. I know that's been stressed very much. Absolutely essential. And there's something that I've heard back when I was your age, and this prevented me from reading the Bible very much. Well, not exactly, but kind of. So you're going to hear like, oh, this is what I've heard it so many times. And I've actually felt that way too. That, hey, the Bible, like, you don't want it to become religion. So you should only read the Bible, like, when you, like, feel that strong urge in your heart that you got to get back to the Lord. Same thing about prayer. Like, hey, I don't want my prayers to be, like, boring, rote. Like, you know, those are the people who always, like, start the same prayer, bread breaking, and the same prayer, and you're like, oh, they're doing it again. And, like, people think, like, hey, you don't want that. But that's not true. That is a lie. Actually, you do want to feel good while you're praying. But you don't want to only pray or read the Bible because of that. So what it is I'm sure you guys, oh, by the way, I usually think of like this. Bible is like eating. Prayer is like drinking. So you guys may or may not know that you die without water first. So in my opinion, praying is a little bit more valuable than Bible reading. Both are absolutely essential, mind you. You die if you don't do either. But prayer is like, prayer is the king. Because when I was your age, it was all about the Bible. It was like, ooh, how many chapters did you read? Ooh, I read 4. Yeah, yo, I'm on top of things. But prayer is like, prayer is the thing that's important. So I will get to both of them. Let's see. Okay, so if it's like eating, you have to do it every day. And you have to train your spiritual sense. Because when a baby's young, they don't necessarily like go, hey, I'm hungry, I should eat. Like, it doesn't click immediately. At least not in some of the babies I've seen. Maybe I'm just working with, never mind. So you guys got to eat every day. You guys got to be in the Word, and you guys got to be praying every day. Even if you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like that. Especially when you don't feel like reading the Bible or praying. That's when you should do it. You guys got that? Did I hammer that in? Yeah? All right. So especially when you don't feel like doing it is when you have to do it. And especially when you don't feel anything. Like when it's just dull, best be doing it. Best be doing it. So, quick how-to guide, or my little guide when I was younger on how I thought about, hey, like, how should I read the Bible? How should I pray? How should I get these things done practically? Because everyone goes, hey, read your Bible. And I was like, oh, read my Bible. Okay, I guess I just read. And then, like, people like pray. I was like, pray? What's praying? What's praying? So, for Bible reading, whatever you can do, do it. Whatever. So for me, I alternate. I'm on like a, sometimes I'm on like 4 chapters and I'm reading for breath. And sometimes I'm on like, you know, that phone verse a day. That's usually during finals, actually, to be real. And I'm just like, ooh, dig into the Word nice and deep. Okay, so do whatever works. Do whatever works for you guys. Because it's important, the most important thing is that you do it. Okay, so you could be reading like 2 chapters a day, 1 chapter a day, 1 verse a day. But you better be doing it, okay? If you're a Christian, best be doing that. And if you guys do that, I guarantee you, you will grow. You will begin to understand the Word more. And even if you're, like, even say you're not putting your full heart. Because practically, every day, you cannot be at 100%. Truth. That's another truth from here. From God. If you are not at 100% every day, that's okay. Just reading it, just doing it, will reap the results. Okay? John Chu, this guy's dad, and where is he? That girl's dad, actually had a talk with me once. And yes, I know, your dad had a talk with me. And what he says is, sometimes when I was reading the word, like the Spirit, even when I was bored, like going through that Numbers, Deuteronomy section, he says, oh, the Spirit was still working in me, working even when I didn't know it. So I'd like to leave you guys with that. Or he said something like that to that effect. He said it a lot more eloquently than I did. Okay, pray. Quickly.
Real quick.
Okay, at first, I'm not sure you guys know how to pray. So basically, what I'm going to tell is I probably won't get the whole thing down. And I'm not like a prayer expert. So you guys should probably talk to people who talk like, you know, they can pray for an hour. You guys go talk to them. But what I got to say is you guys got to pray every day. Remember that. Pray every day, especially when you don't feel like it. And there's three things. There's three things that I thought about. Prayer as a talk. So just a talk with God where you're being real. I think Joel and Jeremy were both alluding to that. Where you just real with God. Where you go like, hey God, this is my day. This is how I've been feeling. La 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 la. That's my day. And that's all your prayer. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure most of you guys think about how your day is. So why don't you just start it off with a dear God and then a, in Christ's name I pray, amen. That way you guys can start getting the prayer in. Second, count your blessings. Okay? God has definitely been blessing you guys. Bless you guys with a nice home, school, la 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 la. You guys have heard it all before. Best be counting your blessings. Best be thanking God for that. Because you know what? In Job, God can give and he can take away. And then you can just say your thoughts on today. Like, and you guys, you know what? Sometimes prayers, they don't got to be long. There's like a verse in the Bible where it says the Spirit works like, you know, groanings and moanings that we can't even do. I don't quite have the whole verse down. But you guys know what verse I'm talking about, I think. Okay. So like, there have been prayers where I've just been like, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Usually when I'm at my finals and I'm like, oh, man, I got some like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And as long as you're doing it, okay, that's the important thing. That's what I'm trying to get across to you guys. Because I don't want you guys to go home and for this just to be another conference for you. I mean, probably 99% of you, it will be. Guaranteed. Who knows how many messages were thrown at me before I understood that. But I don't want that to be another time for you. I hope that as you go into this year, that maybe there's just a chance. Maybe you give God just a chance, the chance that he deserves to go into your life. Maybe you just give him that 5 minutes every day, 1 minute every day. Don't be lying to me. I know you guys are in school. I know you guys got tons of free time. Like, you ain't in college. And even if you were in college, you still have tons of free time. You don't got a job. That's what's true. You guys don't got a job. You guys got free time, at least enough for 5 minutes a day for God. So I hope that my testimony slash message, whatever, has impressed on you that you need to be reading the Bible and praying every day if you want to grow. If you don't want to grow, that's another story. Please go talk to someone about it. And if you're just drifting, I said not to do that. Don't do it. It's bad for yourself. Okay? Okay, that's about it. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass it back to Joel.